The modern portfolio theory and the capital asset pricing model are two theories which explain how you can maximize the return for a given risk. They have been developed gradually by two Nobel Prize winners, Markowitz and Sharpe. In 1952, Markowitz first conjectured that investment risk can be measured as volatility from the standard deviation of the expected return. For example, take the closing price of a share or any spot price from a market and calculate the root mean square displacement of this price. Having done so, you take the square root and some kind of average. This will define the volatility in the same manner as it has been carried out in the previous section, and using different types of averages, you will get different values for the volatility, but the principle is always the same. Markowitz then looked at the total portfolio value when you combine two asset classes that are correlated or rather anti-correlated. For example, take LVMH, a French luxury goods manufacturer, and Hennes & Mauritz, a Swedish manufacturer of cheap clothes. In good times, LVMH will outperform Hennes & Mauritz because people will have tendency to buy expensive goods, whereas in bad times, they will have to reduce on the luxury and yet buy clothes, and will have therefore tendency to buy at Hennes & Mauritz. Both companies, even if they are growing at a certain rate, will be anti-correlated. That means in a good time one will win and the other one will lose, and then in a bad time it will be the opposite. So both will rise, but the fluctuations will cancel each other out, at least partly. Of course, there is stock market crashes, in which case both companies will fall together, even though they are partly anti-correlated. Such an analysis leads to distinguish the specific from the non-specific risks. The specific risk is the risk which characterizes groups of interdependent assets. For example, the two shares I was just talking about. The non-specific risks affect the market as a whole. Now, looking at the risk as the superposition of specific and non-specific risks, Markowitz showed that you can, in fact, reduce or even cancel out the specific risk by diversifying your investments in anti-correlated assets. In fact, you can reduce the total volatility of the portfolio by keeping the same growth rate. Alternatively, you can reduce the total, or you can increase the joint expected return for a fixed volatility. Figure 1 illustrates just this with a mix of two assets. If you look at the plot, the value of the expected return, E, is plotted as a function of the volatility, sigma. If you now vary the proportion of one or the other asset, you will define a so-called efficient frontier, which is this banded line, showing what is the expected return when you have a mix of the two assets. And if you look, this line is above the straight line which connects both ending points. That means that the expected return is larger than the value of the assets taken individually. The analysis can be carried out even with more than two asset classes, and this is done exactly in the applet which you will find online. And there, you have a whole series of asset classes. You have the Morgan & Stanley Capital International Indices, which show how different economies are partly correlated, economies from different countries. It also shows, for example, the Standard & Poor 500, which are 500 large companies in the United States, and different types of bonds, and the raw material here in the form of gold. For example, combine the Standard & Poor 500, which had volatility of 14% and an expected return of 13% over the time period 1986 to 1996, and combine this with the United States long-term corporate bond, which had a volatility of 9% and an expected return of 7%. If you click on both of these asset classes and draw the plot, you will get a plot which is very similar to the one in Figure 1. Having done so, add the 30 days Treasury bill, which is the interest rate promised by the United States Central Bank over 30 days and therefore carries almost no risk at all. The volatility is equal to zero, and the expected return is around 2%. If you now draw the joint expected return of all three, you will obtain a plot which you should remember for the analysis that follows. In fact, Bill Sharpe tried to find, using Markowitz's modern portfolio theory, what is the best portfolio in a given market. He found that if you draw a line which starts at the risk-free spot rate and which is tangent to the efficient frontier, you will find the best combinations possible. In fact, if you look at along this line at the very left, you will have a portfolio which is invested at very low risk at the US Central Bank. And the more you carry towards the right, you follow the line, the more you will invest in these combined assets, up to the point where this line intersects the efficient frontier, in which case all the money will be invested in these assets. What happens if you go further? Then, in fact, what you will do is borrow at the risk-free rate, still the same in this case, and invest the borrowed money into this combination of assets. As you see, the more you go towards the right, the more risk you take, and you will also get the higher return. Sharpe realized that the slope of this line plays a central role, and he measured this slope in the form of a ratio which was then called the Sharpe ratio. It is given by the expected return in excess of the risk-free spot rate divided by the volatility. A large Sharpe ratio shows that you will have large excess return from taking a risk, whereas a low Sharpe ratio will show that it's relatively unattractive to take risk because you will not earn very much money out of this strategy. Exactly the same idea can be generalized to compare one fund at different times or several funds with a reference, for example, the market index or a market index or a share or a fund in general. The capital asset pricing model uses a least square fit to a straight line from all these quantities. And the slope data then measures the return per unit of risk, and the offset alpha will measure the gain or the losses which are made from arbitrage or transaction costs. In fact, a fund will outperform the index if the value of alpha is larger than zero and the value of beta is larger than 1. Unfortunately, funds often have alphas which are negative. And the reason is simple, because the fund managers take some management fees or commissions. With such an analysis, however, you can measure, quantify what is the relative performance of funds, and this is usually done to advertise the funds by the fund managers. So you will usually see these measures of alphas and betas and the Sharpe ratio. The analysis of Markowitz and Sharpe, in summary, shows how to use risk in an efficient manner. You should diversify your portfolio and blend different types of investments, and doing so, minimize the costs, that means the commissions, but also the taxes, as much as you can. In the 60s, Eugene Fama then proposed another conjecture, which is the efficient market hypothesis. He conjectured that it is impossible to find a self-financing trading strategy which leads to an immediate riskless profit. And the reason is the arbitragers who try to seek and exploit any mispricing. For example, if a share is relatively cheap in their view, they will have large amount of cash available to buy this share. Therefore, there will be a strong demand and the price will rise. And they will hope to sell the share again with profit. They will have made an arbitrage and gain for themselves, and the price will have gone up. Since you have many arbitrages who try to exploit these mispricings on the market, in general, the prices will reflect their true values, and there will be little arbitrage opportunities left. In fact, there is arbitrage opportunities only for arbitrages who have large amount of cash to exploit only tiny mispricings. If you follow Fama's efficient market hypothesis, then it is in fact impossible to say that an asset is cheap or expensive. It's impossible even to predict the next move. There's no way to say, because the market just fell, that you can buy a share cheap. There is no cheap share or expensive share. There's always as many people who believe that the share will rise as people who believe that the share will fall. The human psychology has difficulties with this. In fact, it is difficult to buy when the markets are falling, whereas the people tend to overbuy a market, buy when the market is rising is very much easier. And by doing so, in fact, they are systematically losing money. Don't do that. Don't follow other investors like sheep. Simple way to put it, usually if people on the street tell you that you should buy a share, then it's perhaps time for you to sell it. To avoid this trap of the human psychology, fund managers usually perform a cost averaging, which tries to minimize the fluctuations of the markets. So they define a strategy. They want maybe to sell a fraction of their fund, a certain share, and they will do that over a certain time span to average out the fluctuations, and they will do it independently of on whether the market falls or goes up, because they have a longer term perspective for the fund. And this will allow them not to be prey for arbitrages who also try to exploit this type of behavior, the human behavior. This section in general, showed how to maximize the return for a given risk. So, as a conclusion, you should really diversify a portfolio and avoid the costs in the form of commissions and taxes. How to manage the investment risk, that means how to keep it not too large and also not too small, will be the topic of the next chapter and will be done using options with a quantitative analysis.